Welcome to our next session on dispensationalism. And today we're going to look at things that differ, things that are different from one age to the next. And I think that might help us to better understand what a dispensation actually is. We defined a dispensation as a distinguishable economy and the outworking of God's plan for the ages. And so each age has something that distinguishes it from previous ages and from ages to come as well. And so one of the things that distinguishes each dispensation is the fact that God gives new revelation. And so every dispensation has a body of new revelation, and that new revelation was not made known in previous ages. There are several dispensations that have virtually hardly any revelation, at least that's recorded in the Bible. The first four ages, innocence, conscience, human government, and promise, there's very little revelation concerning each of those dispensations. But the following three, law, grace, and kingdom, there is much revelation. And the revelation that's given for each different age or each different dispensation, carries with it responsibilities. So commands, one of the distinctions is there are commands and promises that are given that are included in this revelation. And the commands and promises in one dispensation do not necessarily have a primary application in other ages to follow. So only that portion of Scripture that is directly addressed to the believer under grace today is to be considered personal and primary application for us. For example, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 16 and following, a very well-known passage, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So every portion of Scripture is profitable. And it's all for us. Now, not all Scripture is addressed to us as church age saints, but all Scripture is for us. It's equally inspired, equally important, and we can profit from reading all of it. But in some passages of Scripture, it's only a secondary application for us. And now there are great spiritual lessons that can be learned, and we can learn about God, we can learn about man, ourselves, we can learn about the holiness of God, but it doesn't follow that just because some portion of Scripture is written for our learning and for our admonition, that it's necessarily addressed to us, and therefore we're required to submit to all the commands, and that we should expect all the promises recorded in a portion of Scripture will be carried out for us. For example, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's part of the dispensation of law. And under it, we see that God's blessings in the age of law were directly connected to Israel's obedience. And their blessings were primarily physical blessings. And we read in the first part of Deuteronomy 28 that if Israel obeyed, God would make them the head of all nations. They'd be wealthy. They would have many children. Their enemies would not bother them. They'd live in peace and safety. But if they disobeyed God, then they would lose their wealth. They would not have many children. They might be chased from their country. But we don't have any such connection between our obedience and God's direct blessing in our lives. For example, those promises in Deuteronomy 28 don't apply to us. Now, there are some charlatans that will say, if you send money to our ministry, God will open the windows of heaven and you will be rich. Just read it for yourself in the Old Testament. Well, that is what the Old Testament said to Israel, but it's not for us. In fact, for the Christian, if we're faithful and obedient and follow the Lord, we can expect not wealth, not to be the head of all nations, we can expect persecution. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, whatsoever things were written aforetime are for our learning. So we can learn from Old Testament scriptures wonderful spiritual lessons and truths about the Lord and his character. And while it might be for our learning, not all scripture is addressed to us. For example, consider some of the Old Testament commands. In the dispensation of innocence, they were forbidden to eat from a particular tree. That doesn't apply to us today. In the Old Testament law, they were commanded to worship on Saturday, on the Sabbath. That doesn't apply to us anymore. And also in the Old Testament, the Jews were required to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and many other holy feast days. Christianity doesn't have any holy days or any feast days. And so there are also many requirements concerning food and restrictions under the Levitical dietary laws that don't apply to us. And I'm thankful I can eat pork and lobster. That was forbidden in the Old Testament. And so we are not to build an altar and offer sacrifices, an animal sacrifice for our sin. Christ is the end of all sacrifices for sin. So not all the commands in all the dispensations apply to us today. And also consider what Jesus said to his own disciples in the gospel period, which is really the end of the dispensation of law and before the church age began. Jesus gave Peter a command when he was out in a boat, and he said, come. He commanded Peter to come out and walk on the water towards him. Don't try that at home. Don't try that in your own boat. That's not a command to us. Also, Jesus healed individuals, and he told them to go and not to tell anybody who Christ was. That's certainly not a command for us today. In Matthew chapter 10, in verses 5 and 6, Jesus commanded his disciples, he was sending them out to preach the gospel, and he said, whatever you do, don't go to any Gentiles. They were restricted in their preaching to the lost sheep of the house of Israel exclusively. Now, that is not our plan for evangelization of the world today. Totally different. And also in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 4, when the Lord healed a man, he told him to go to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses required for his healing. Now, that certainly doesn't apply to us today. Now, we are, as church age saints, as believers in the age of grace, We are commanded to obey every command that is addressed to us in the church, but we're not commanded to obey commands in other portions of Scripture that are clearly not addressed to us. And you know, if we approach the Bible from a dispensational perspective, it enables us to intelligently sort through all of these distinctions and things that differ in the Old Testament and the New Testament, even different portions of the Old or New Testament. And it will help prevent us from making some serious doctrinal and practical errors. For example, it will keep us away from bondage to the heresy of legalism. You know, the Puritan writers wrote many good things, but they were legalistic in their understanding of the rule of life in the age of grace. They missed the boat on that point. And they had Sabbath requirements for Christians. Now, the Sabbath doesn't apply to us, so, and they kind of knew that something was different. And so instead of calling it the Lord's Day, they called it the Christian Sabbath. That's when we worship. Well, Sunday isn't Saturday. You can't just change the, give it a different title and think that it's the same thing. It's, things differ. And they were very legalistic. You just read some of the blue laws that had been in effect in Massachusetts Bay Colony for many, many years. They were very restrictive. Even I was reading an article about some farmers in the apple country just outside of Boston, and they were arrested for picking apples on the Christian Sabbath. So this is, it leads to legalism if we don't make distinctions between law and grace. And also, if we understand these things that differ, it will help prevent us from making some unrealistic expectations. This is an error that our charismatic brothers and sisters fall into. They see that the Lord performed miracles, and in the apostolic age they perform miracles, and therefore they expect that miracles will be performed today. They expect that if they really have faith, that God will heal them. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Another thing that differs in one dispensation to another is the rule of life, the way believers are to live in different dispensations. Clearly, life was different for Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. And then we see also life was different for Abraham, living, offering sacrifices on altars that he built, and living according to the promises that God gave him. And then when God gave Moses the law, everything changed then as well, and there was a whole new rule of life. In fact, hundreds of different rules and regulations that had been codified into the Jewish law and prescribed the way they were to live. Now, the promises, the different bodies of revelation, the different commands and responsibilities differ greatly from one age, from one dispensation to the next. And if we know this, it will help us to prevent making some blunders in the Christian life that there's really no need to make if we understand the Bible from a dispensational perspective. Also consider how different dispensations, the truth is directed to different groups of mankind. For example, in the Age of Innocence in the Garden of Eden, God was working with only two people. That's all there were, but that's what God was working with. Then we see in the Age of Human Government, God was working with all the nations that had newly been formed. During the Age of Promise, it's no longer God working with all the nations. In the Age of Promise, he's working only with one family, Abraham and his seed, his family, his line, his tribe. And then we see in the dispensation of law, just one portion of that tribe, the seed of Abraham through the patriarchs, and that was the nation of Israel. And so the laws of Moses, as many as they were directed only to the nation of Israel. And certainly in the church age, God is not working with two people. He's not working with all the nations as countries. He's not working with Israel as a nation, but rather he's working with individuals who get saved and form bodies, individual local churches that pop up that aren't countries, but they're bodies of born-again believers that pop up everywhere around the world. And so, and then in the kingdom, God is again going to revert back to working with all nations and every individual in each one of those individual nations. So in different dispensations, the people with whom God is dealing under one administration or one economy to the next, it differs greatly. And it's helpful for us to know that. Another thing that differs in the different dispensations is the fact that some things carry over from one dispensation to the next and other things don't. For example, just consider the regulations on food. In the Garden of Eden, they were vegetarians. It was unthinkable to kill an animal. There was no death. And then in Genesis chapter 9, God says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. So then after, things changed after the fall, and man was able to eat animals, everything, no restrictions, anything that moved. And I know some people that like to eat anything that moves. I like it to be dead before I eat it. But these are different things. And the dispensation of law, read the book of Leviticus. There are whole chapters dealing with many regulations on which animals were clean and able to be eaten, which animals were unclean and unable to be eaten. And then we get into the New Testament, and Paul writes to Timothy in the church age, and he says that there were certain false teachers who were saying we still had to abstain from certain meats, as they did under the law. And Paul wrote, no. They're all to be received with thanksgiving. We can eat anything in the dispensation of grace. It's all sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So the differences in food restrictions, those don't carry through in every dispensation. Another example is tithing. Israel was required in Deuteronomy to give a tithe or 10% of all the increase of thy seed and of thy field, of all of their increase, they were to give back to the Lord a tenth. And in addition, they had to pay a temple tax. They had to pay a shekel for the temple upkeep and for the maintenance of the priesthood. Those things don't apply to us. Under grace, we're not to give one-tenth. Law put a ceiling on what you could give. There's no ceiling on giving under grace. And nor are we commanded to give a certain percentage. In writing on this theme in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul gives us an example of giving, and it's Christ in its grace. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And so here's the example, the cross. Christ gave his all for us. And that's the ultimate example in giving. And so we're not commanded to give a certain percentage. Rather, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Just let the Lord lead you as to how much to give. And he says also, we're to give according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So not everyone is able to give to the same degree. Differences. Another dispensational change that some of them are carried on. For example, the death penalty that was began in Genesis chapter 9. Whoever sheds man's blood by man, God was now telling mankind we can govern ourselves and institute the death penalty for the murderers. And that's carried over. We see this carried out in the Old Testament law, and we see it also repeated in the book of Romans, that in the church age, that God is also still gives to human governments the power of the sword to execute evildoers. And God's plan for marriage. In the book of Genesis, God brought Adam a wife. One man, one woman for life. And that was God's original plan, and it's never changed. Now, in the patriarchal days and during many of the Old Testament times, God kind of winked at their ignorance there. But God doesn't tolerate multiple wives in the age of grace. God winked at some of those things in the Old Testament, but not anymore. It was never part of God's original plan. It was always God's plan, one man, one woman for life. And so, some things in dispensations carry on through different ages, and other things don't. So things are different. And dispensationalist notices those differences and categorizes them and organizes them and enables the believer today to have a clearer understanding of exactly what God expects of us in the dispensation of the grace of God. And so it's helpful for us to ask this question when we're reading any portion of Scripture. To whom was it written? Who was it addressed to? And what were the circumstances? In what age is he speaking about in any particular passage? You know, we have a little chorus in our hymnal, and it says, the title is, Every Promise of the Book is Mine. We don't sing that song because it just isn't true. Not every promise in the book is mine. I can't expect that God is going to make us rich and healthy because we're obeying the word. I can't expect that God will reward us in glory. Not in this life, but in glory, he'll reward us for obedience. Not every promise is addressed to church age saints. And just think of it this way. Have you ever read a historical letter? Say, a letter George Washington wrote to one of his soldiers. You know, it's profitable to read. You can learn some great lessons about what kind of a person George Washington was. You can learn something of the history of that day and learn important facts about our history as Americans. But it would be absurd to think that a command George Washington wrote in a letter addressed to one of his soldiers was something that we should obey today. That would be absurd. Or to think that, say, George Washington made a promise to one of his soldiers. It would be absurd to think that that promise is for us today. Dispensationalism says, don't read the Bible that right way. Always ask, to whom is it addressed and what were the circumstances?